All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome in to Daily Faceoff Live, your go-to source for everything hockey. Live every weekday at noon Eastern.
Deadline week is here. It is a big, big week of shows on Daily Faceoff Live, streaming on the Daily Faceoff YouTube, and brought to you by Betano. The game starts now at betano.ca. Frank, big week, and things are starting to pick up a little bit around the league.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is where the rubber meets the road. There's at least three teams in the West that I'm shocked really kind of haven't done anything yet, but I'd be shocked if we get to Friday at 3:30 p.m. Eastern and they haven't done anything. That's the Avs, Oilers, and also the Vegas Golden Knights. So certainly going to be a really interesting week. And it also seems like it's happened at a time, Tyler, when the standings appear to have crystallized a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. It was a big weekend in that regard around the league. We're going to have John Goyens swing by in a little bit with the coaches room, as we do every Monday. We got some trade talk to get to. But first, Frank, let's start with one of the big stories from the weekend. Elias Pettersson locks in his extension with the Vancouver Canucks. You were first to report last week that the two sides began talking again and made significant progress. They closed the deal over the weekend. It is an $11.6 million AAV. It is just $100K. More than William Nylander, which puts him into the top five for cap hits next season. Were you surprised by this number at all?
A little surprised in the sense that they were able to keep it under $12 million a year. But honestly, this feels like one of those deals that works for both sides. I can't think of a more fair deal for a top level superstar than what we're seeing here. I mean, I guess maybe you could make the argument Connor McDavid has lived up to every aspect of his $100 million contract. But when I think about Pettersson and where the Canucks are, how much of a slog this was to get done, it took them basically 2 years from start to finish. And then to finally execute and sign and get the full 8-year deal, this works for Vancouver. It definitely works for Pettersson, $92.8 million. And I think there's a real strong bet that as the salary cap continues to increase 3 years from now, we're talking about probably $100 million salary cap. There's a real strong chance that Pettersson at 11.6 is going to be really good value. He's on track for back-to-back 100-point seasons. To me, I think one of the premier players in the game, and the fact that he's a center, I think you'd be willing to pay that premium over the Nylander deal. And to think that Pettersson will be hovering in the top five in the league in scoring over the next 8 years, I think is a pretty safe bet.
Yeah, that's absolutely a safe bet. And I love the number this came in at. And another thing, too, this isn't a 28-year-old, 29-year-old guy signing an extension, and year one's going to begin when he's 30. Like, year one of this contract is his 26-year-old season. This is going to bring him, I mean, barely into his mid-30s. There's not going to be any part of this deal where you'll be, you know, gulping for the final 2 years going, oh God, we hope he ages out okay and he's not a total anchor contract the last 2 years. Like, this just eats up absolutely nothing but his prime. It's a great piece of work. And then when you look, Quinn Hughes has three more years to go. This Canucks team now has their two most important pieces signed in terms of skaters, signed for under $20 million. That's a massive win while they're in this competitive window.
Agree. And I think that this team now has solidified the foundational pieces for really what looks like at least a 10-year run of having a chance to win a Stanley Cup or multiple. And, you know, they've got all of the pillars in place that you could want, checking all the positional boxes. Thatcher Demko in net, Quinn Hughes on the back end, and the pairing that he's had with Philip Aronik this season, then up front with Pettersson. And that JT Miller contract looks great, and he's played extraordinarily well this season. So I look at Vancouver. I look at the success that they've had this year, the step that they've taken. I don't think it's a fluke, and I think they're here to stay, especially now with Pettersson locked up for their foreseeable future.
Scale of 1 to 10, how aggressive do you expect Alvin and company to be for the remainder of this week? No first rounder, no second rounder in this upcoming draft.
8.5.
Wow. Okay. Interesting.
That's the other thing that this deal done, getting it done now, it allows you to at least take a look and say, hey, is there anyone here with term? We now really have a good sense of what our books look like for next season. They could be in the rental market. They could be nibbling around the edges. They could take the bat off their shoulder for another big swing if they want.
Mm-hmm. Pettersson long-term in Vancouver. That was not the only big news we got over the weekend. The Washington Capitals on Saturday morning, as it's announced, Evgeny Kuznetsov is out of the player assistance program and is cleared to return to practice. The Washington Capitals promptly put him on waivers. A $7.8 million cap, it basically made it so no one was going to claim this guy because of that big number, Frank. Were you surprised when this news came across the waiver wire? And I guess also part two, what's next for Kuznetsov and his relationship with the Caps?
Well, not really surprised, because I believe that either at the beginning of the season or sometime over the offseason, for someone that had been clamoring for a change of scenery, the Caps were frustrated with him. He was frustrated with the Caps, that they basically said to him, we know that you've had some issues and it's pretty clear that it's with drugs, that you need to get yourself in order. And if there's another issue that pops up here, then we're going to have to cut ties. It's going to be a zero tolerance policy from here on out. And so Kuznetsov goes into the player assistance program. And I think that was kind of the last straw for him with the Caps, that they basically said, that coupled with your attitude, we've got to do something a little bit differently here. So what's next? He's sent to Hershey, and he's now the highest salaried player ever to play in the AHL, provided that he reports, which we expect to happen, given that there's about $10 million left on his deal between this season and next. And then where it goes this summer, well, that part remains to be seen. I don't think it'd be wise on his part, given where his reputation is right now, to bypass on the $8 million in cash that's left on his deal. Will the Caps buy him out this summer? Is there some way that a trade could materialize if the Caps are willing to retain money? There's lots of different options and ways to do this. And I think at the very least, or at the bottom of the list, would be that Kuznetsov plays out the last year of his deal in the AHL, but I don't think it'll get to that point.
Yeah, so just some background info there. If they were to buy him out this summer, his $7.8 million cap hit would go down to $3.8 in dead money next year for the Caps, and then a $2 million penalty the following year. So when you consider that $3.8 in year one, Capitals would probably be wise to explore the market of retaining 50% of this guy, and maybe there's a taker out there. But this is a player, I mean, his production has really fallen off over the last number of years. In 21-22, he had 78 points in 79 games, 24 goals that season. Last year, just 12 goals. I know he still hit the 50-point mark, and then you look at this year, just 6 goals and 11 assists in 40 three games. So it's understandable the drop in production coupled with the off-ice issues here. Why? I mean, no team obviously was taking a stab at 7.8, but even why the Capitals may have trouble moving him at 50% retained.
I was going to say, you know, we're a long way from 2018 when really can't overstate how significant a part of their run to the Stanley Cup Kuznetsov was, scoring some of the biggest goals in Caps history. And if not really for name recognition and not to take anything away at all from Alex Ovechkin and the playoff run that he had that year, man, I think Kuznetsov was their most dominant and dynamic force in that postseason. He was all over the place. And now we're in a spot where 6 years after the fact, it's been a bit of a tough go. And obviously he's dealt with a lot of different things and wish him luck with all that and all the best, but the Caps clearly got to a point where they had enough.
Yeah, 32 points that playoff run with Washington, scored what I think a lot of Capitals fans would call the biggest goal in franchise history with that OT winner. Let's get back to the trade talk. Frank, deadline week begins, and you have a new top 10 up with the trade targets list. Let's start at number one, where Jake Guentzel has surpassed Noah Hanifin. Is it moving towards the slam dunk, as you like to say, stone cold mortal lock that Jake Guentzel has moved this week?
We're pretty close to that. And look, this was a disastrous road trip to Western Canada for the Penguins. They were absolutely shellacked on Sunday by the Edmonton Oilers. And more than that, I think what this trip did as they continued to sink in the standings is really remove any doubt as to what course or path the Penguins should take. Even for a team that hasn't won a playoff round since 2018, there had been lots of hope this season. Oh, this team just isn't getting the wins, but their underlying metrics are good. Or look at the core of this team. If they get into the playoffs, maybe they could be a threat. From Sidney Crosby to the coaching staff to every member of that front office, there's no way that anyone could possibly look Kyle Dubas dead in the eye today and say that this is a team that deserves to not sell off every single piece that they possibly could for value. And that begins with Jake Guentzel, who to me is the number one premier forward available on the market. Yes, he's missed the last few weeks with his injury, which is believed to be a fractured finger. He's north of a point per game for the fourth time in the last five seasons, two-time 40-goal scorer. And oh, by the way, yes, led an entire postseason in goals on the way to the Penguins winning the Stanley Cup in 2017 when he was a rookie. This is a player who can be an immediate impact. And look, I think acquisition cost-wise for what may be a pure rental, the Penguins are in a spot where they can demand a lot for him, and he's the one guy that they can point to jumpstart what should be probably a pretty long and dark rebuild.
Yeah, you talked about that this morning on the DFO Rundown with Jason Greger. So after this show, if people are looking for more, a full hour of trade talk with Frank and Jason. Jake Allen slides out of your top 10, Frank. One name that moves in is Tyler Toffoli of the New Jersey Devils, and he doesn't just move into the top 10. He rockets up to the sixth spot. What's the latest on Toffoli and the Devils' deadline plans?
Yeah, so he goes from 44th out of 45 on our trade targets board last week all the way up to number six. And the reason for that is the disastrous Devils road trip. It'd be possible to argue, and it would be fun to argue, which trip was more disappointing, the Devils or the Penguins. And the way that the Devils went out with a whimper in Los Angeles, it's not just the teams that they lost to, but really the quality of competition, at least throughout the trip in Western Canada for the Penguins. You could say, well, they played a few really good teams. That's what happens. So the Penguins had their backbreaking loss against the Calgary Flames. For the Devils, it was against the Ducks in Anaheim, and then really were just crushed by the Kings and couldn't create much. So they come back to New Jersey, and I think it's time to ask serious questions about the status of this team, their playoff chances this year. And since they're probably not in a position to be adding, they're not winning with Tyler Toffoli. You might as well cash in on what's been a 26-goal season for someone who's clutch, has Stanley Cup experience, and is an expiring contract that certainly isn't offensive. So they're going to be in a spot where you know, Tom Fitzgerald, their general manager, is going to look at these next two games before the deadline and make that determination officially. But seems to stand to reason that at this point in time, that Toffoli is not just available, but the Devils have to consider anything that comes down the pike.
There you go, a new top 10. And again, deadline countdown series, all that stuff continuing at dailyfaceoff.com this week because it is deadline week, Frank. And to wrap up the beginning of our show here, as weird as that was coming out of my mouth, I want to ask you a couple just quick rapid fire style questions. What story or situation are you most intrigued by or most intrigued to see play out over the next 4 days?
The arms race in the West. I mentioned them off the top of the show. The Avs, Golden Knights, and Oilers. I will be absolutely floored if I wake up on Saturday morning and none of those teams have made big splashes.
Is there a chance
any of those teams haven't?
Is there a chance we maybe see like all three of the big forward names, Gensel, Toffoli, Henrique, they all just end up with those three teams in the West?
They certainly could, for sure.
Are there any teams who you think are still on the fence of being a buyer or seller this week?
I don't think so. I think even a team like the Preds are probably more leaning towards adding than they are selling off. And there may be a few pieces that move. I'd imagine Tyson Barrie gets traded in Nashville, but the Preds have won 8 in a row. And, you know, maybe they could trade Alexander Carrier, but I wouldn't be surprised to see Barry Trotz add between now and Friday at 3 p.m. And I'm just looking at the rest of the teams that are kind of in that mix. The only other team that's a bit caught in the middle is the Eastern Conference version of those Preds, which would be the Flyers. They have exceeded expectations this year. And I understand what they might be thinking about Sean Walker and Nick Seeler about not getting appropriate value to what they think they are. I think they can't get, this is my own personal opinion, I think they can't get lost in what they are or aren't right now and need to make moves. There have still been a few crushing losses over the last week, whether it was giving up 5 unanswered goals to Washington after having a 2-0 lead or losing 7-6 in Pittsburgh the previous Sunday. I know that there have been some uplifting wins, the one over Tampa. You beat a banged-up Sens team. But I'm looking at the Flyers saying, you've got Sean Walker for a song. Even if it's just a second-round pick, the only thing worse than not trading Sean Walker would be committing upwards of $5 million a year for the next few years to him. And same thing with Nick Seeler. Love his competitive drive. Love everything that he brings to the lineup. But Nick Seeler at $800,000 is really attractive. Nick Seeler, $3 million or more, is not quite as attractive.
Yeah. Good point on that. Owen is in on the YouTube and says, this is why we love Frank. This deadline might not be that bad. And I'm starting to feel a little bit of the excitement as I hear you rattle off some more names, Frank. We'll continue the deadline talk in a bit with our inbox question. Feel free to drop those in. But for now, let's get to our big segment. It's the Coach's Room with John Goyens. The Coach's Room is delivered by DoorDash. Our Canadian listeners can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more. All you need to do is download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code NATION25. Restaurants and more delivered right to your door with DoorDash. John Goyens, you can find him on Twitter at @gourmet_hockey. And even though he's on vacation, he snuck away. He's still got some time to talk hockey with us here on DFO Live. And yeah, I'll keep it quiet. John, let's go out to the East and talk about the Florida Panthers. That's going to be our focus for today. One of the best teams at 5-on-5 goals against, but it's maybe a bit more than just Sergei Bobrovsky being a good goalie. What areas have led to the Panthers being this stingy?
Well, if you follow Paul Maurice and a lot of his press clippings, if you will, his post-game, pre-games, they identified a couple of years ago is that you cannot continue to outscore your problems. A couple of years ago, they won the President Trophy and they were the highest scoring team goals for per game played, but that it wasn't good enough. You at some point need to dial in and defend. And the area that I focused on, and we sent over some stats for Gavin here to display. The record looks great. The goals for per game are down, are actually down. And but where they make up for it is the fact that they're defending. They are tied for first in the NHL at goals against per game. They do that beyond one individual's performance. They truly defend as a team. And you could look at the scoring at 5-on-5. They are 26th in the league for creating offense, but they are 87th in goals against total at 5-on-5. So where do they make up for the offense? And we're going to get into the three different segments here. It's their power play. But in terms of the defending, it's about team defense. So let's fire up the clips and we'll see as physical as they are second in the league for hits. It's their stick checks. They are second in the league for overall stick checks. They will come back. They will be five in the house. And when they block those shots, you can see they're ready to transition the other way. That's the thing. If you cheat, you're not going to create as much transition as you actually think. When you defend as a team, you have great angles, you have great sticks, and you get five guys in the picture. Talked about this. This is what coaches just salivate for when looking for clips, is five guys inside the house, five guys denying those little passes to the net front. Great sticks, great angles. We did an earlier session on OEL and his impact to Florida. Well, it hasn't just been offensively. He's great sticks. On this clip, know what your job is when you jump on the ice and you identify, you force the play to the outside. And once again, the five players are extremely connected all the way back to the house. And then when in doubt, make sure you have a solid neutral zone. I don't care what you play. Make sure you have four above at all times. We heard Mike Sullivan yesterday, we're not above the puck enough. That's what's killing teams when they give up too much on the transition against. You cannot have a great neutral zone, let alone a good neutral zone, if you are not at least four above. And Florida executes it at a steady and consistent pace. And as physical as they are, they will do it with numbers and they will do it with great stick checks, which allows them then to play their best hockey, which is the forecheck. And again, here, like I said, I don't care if you're a 1-1-3, a 1-3-1, a 1-2-2, just execute the game plan and deny space in the neutral zone.
So what's really interesting, John, watching this Panthers team, and you're showing us here how they're playing as a five-man unit, is scoring-wise, they haven't been great at 5-on-5, but they've gotten a lot of their work done this season on the power play. So fire up a clip for us and show us what has made their power play so interesting and to be a top five unit this year.
Yeah, so their top five power play unit, they're actually second since the All-Star break, but they have the most goals since the All-Star break. They have just been steady. And some of the underlying numbers are great entries, but I'm not going to go into great entries. Everybody likes to see goals. They recover pucks. That's going to be in the film. As we fire up the clips here, we're going to see what they do on broken plays, what they do to attack quickly. Loose puck recovery by Varhaeghe. What does he do? Sling that puck as quickly as possible. Jordan Greenway sleeping at the switch, and then it's bang, bang. Two east-west passes, bang in the back of the net. And we also have the return of Sasha Barkov to being a dominant net front presence on the power play, like he used to play when Jonathan Huberdeau was still in town. We saw him go away from that position. We saw Tkachuk play net presence a lot over the last couple of years. But look, you could still see Sasha Barkov.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hold up.
What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Right behind, that's his office, right? In the 2023-2024, if anybody's going to call that their office, it's Barkov. They will use the back of the net to get penalty-killing units to collapse. Watch again. Collapse the Washington PK. Sasha Barkov takes it behind. He forces them out. Now it forces now Washington to flex out. Great. Elite net presence as he slides by. No chance you're going to see that puck going through. And also Varhaeghe, bright as he is, he shoots first post. He knows where that screen is and its rotation and how it's going to move out of the way. The other part is they rotate. They look like a 1-3-1 1 second. Now they look like an overload and Tampa doesn't adjust and it opens up these backdoor plays. This is the thing. They are what I've criticized some teams about. They are not predictable. They will draw you out of positions. They will take advantage, but they have poise. And again, as we roll these clips, what do you also need on power plays? You need power play depth. Here's your second unit. Look at that tip pass by OEL through his leg.
Smart AF.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. Oh, I'll put those types of comments and clips all the time with players, right? They get a bit of a giggle. Coach can't be a robot all the times. And once again, why not highlight Barkov's return to the back of the house, back of the net? And of course, you got to highlight the work of one Reinhardt, who's just been outstanding as a bumper player, outstanding with deflections. But they have so many weapons. It's just been unbelievable. Montour, who didn't start the season, he knows how to slide out of coverage. But again, recover equals quick strike. It can't always be, oh, we recover the puck. Let's just settle it down. Let's just, right? What's my other thing that I speak to ad nauseum and I criticize the Devils of doing? These guys underhandle pucks. They catch pucks. They move it. They get open. They don't. Frank, we were texting yesterday. What were they saying on the broadcast for the New Jersey power play? Overhandling it and becoming predictable. That is the last thing you can describe the Florida Panthers power play.
So they aren't exactly the 5-on-5 scoring juggernaut that they have been in the past in the years where they led the league in goals per game. But are there some signs that maybe this team does have more to give at 5-on-5 offensively and maybe that they'll wake up for the playoffs?
Well, this is the one area where I don't call it a big concern, but it is a concern. And we've done these breakdowns in the past in the playoffs where a team like Carolina wasn't offensively diversified enough. We talked about that. They didn't score enough off the rush. So right now, Florida kind of creates off the rush. They haven't really scored off the rush. But what do they do? We all know what it takes to create and create zone time and scoring is you got to have an unbelievable forecheck. And that's what Florida really does. As we fire up these clips, they are ready to send pucks deep, execute their forecheck, which is a really aggressive 2-1-2. They'll have a forward that closes the wall as an F3 on the strong side. But in this case, this is even off a line change. Lomberg stays on. He gives the four other guys the time to change. And then Barkov comes in, strips the puck. But it's the consistency of the forecheck. Even if Ekblad is F1, you squeeze and hug the boards and activate weak side Ds like crazy. And, of course, Reinhardt right here is at net presence. You got Tkachuk net presence. And it's just the consistency of it. They do not relent. If the other team is staring towards their goal line on any retrievals, they are pressing 4-2 on the first options. And both walls are taken away. What opens up every single time is going to be the slot. So this is playoff style hockey. We know they have it in them. The one area that I'd like to see them ramp up here over the last 20 games is being offensively diversified at 5-on-5 so that teams cannot just adjust and potentially sit back to negate forecheck offense for the Florida Panthers.
Fantastic insight as always, John. You can listen to him on TSN 690 with Rocket and Canadian Games. You can follow him on Twitter at Gourmet Hockey, and you can hear the Coach's Room every Monday here on DFO Live. Thanks, John.
Thanks, guys.
Couple of listener submitted questions to get to in hashtag Ask DFO Frank. It's brought to you by Tourism Jasper. You can head to jasper.travel to find out how you can make the most of the last little bit of winter out in the Rockies. Before we get to the listener submitted one, Frank, I want to ask you, what are the Panthers going to get up to ahead of the deadline?
I'd say Bill Zito, their GM, has been one of the most active managers making calls over the last couple weeks. They're trying to shop at Gucci with a Walmart budget in terms of assets. I said that on the DFO rundown today. That is accurate. They'd like to make a splash. They wouldn't be afraid to trade away some of their pending UFAs on their roster if it meant in being able to do something like that. I'm not talking about Sam Reinhart, but some of the other guys on the list. And they want to try and aggressively help this team as much as they can with the limited assets that they have.
No first rounder, no second rounder this year, no first rounder next year as well. So you mentioned shortage of assets. Couple quickly from the YouTube chat. I know we're going to go long today, but Krusty Craig is in and wants to know if you see a fit between Hanifin and the Lightning.
Hanifin, I reported this a few weeks ago, had made the Lightning his preferred destination. There's other teams on the list that he'd be willing to accept a trade to. I think in a perfect world, the Flames would try and find something from Tampa that makes sense. I think you should just caution the idea that the return for Hanifin is going to be massive. We've talked about what a struggle that is for the Flames to make a deal. And really, that's essentially what they're looking at right now, is exploring ways with the limited assets Tampa has to try and find something that works, because Tampa's interested, but also only to a certain extent.
And quickly, Elias wants to know what his Winnipeg Jets could get up to. He said they're left out of the big Western arms race conversation. I think we left out Winnipeg because they made their move. We left out Dallas, even Vancouver. We didn't talk about there because those are teams that have already made their ads. Do you think Winnipeg could keep adding this week?
Yeah, I think they're going to continue to try and find improvements on the margins. I don't think they're going to be making a big, big splash. But the fact that they kept tabs on prices for Tanev and some other players gives you an indication that they're still in the mix to continue to add.
Let's move along to our daily bets for the day, brought to you by Betano, the 2023 EGR brand of the year for sportsbook operator. The game starts now at Betano. Couple of plays here on a Monday night. Vegas Golden Knights, get right spot. They're playing Columbus. Vegas only has 3 wins in their last 10, but you're going to give me plus 135 on a good team to beat up on a bad team. I'm going to take it, even though Columbus is at home. I like Vegas here to get right after that loss against Buffalo over the weekend. My player shot prop parlay for the day, couple of names here. Jake Neighbors has hit his and crushed his in 4 consecutive games for the Blues. That's at 1.5. Jack Roslovic has been 3+ shots on goal in 5 straight games. They keep giving it at 1.5. I'm going to keep taking it. Plus 158 on the parlay here, all courtesy of Betano. Frank, before we get to garbage time, quick piece of info.
Well, yeah, first off, you got to give some love to Jake Neighbors hitting 20 goals. Also, JJ Paterka, a couple young guys hitting 20 for the first time in their career. So that's exciting. But the news nugget to pass along, the Detroit Red Wings say Dylan Larkin will miss the next 2 weeks with a lower body injury. So a team in a firm playoff spot, you're thinking that Steve Yzerman is going to add and be aggressive here within reason. And so I think the Wings are a wild card team to watch, but losing Larkin for the next couple of weeks certainly hurts.
Yeah. Garbage time brought to you by Wendy's in the Daily Faceoff Survivor Game. $3.49 for a 6-piece of nuggets. It's every meal's need. You need to add nuggets to the meal. You can do it now at Wendy's for $3.49. Frank, did you do it? Did you pull it off last week?
Don't even get me started. I made it all the way to day 4. First time ever. I had the Rangers over the Leafs on Saturday night, and the Rangers lost in a shootout, ending my bid for my first shot at free Wendy's this season. Oh. But the nice thing is, new week, new game. Perhaps I could run the table again, get to the finish line, and fall flat on my face.
Yeah, I missed on Crosby over 1.5 points on Saturday as they lost to the Calgary Flames. Lock me in for Connor Bedard over 3.5 shots today. You can have your say at dailyfaceoffsurvivor.com. Frank, garbage time for today. A fun little moment, lighthearted moment out in St. Louis. Steve Ott, assistant coach of the Blues, is sitting on the bench while his son Maverick gets absolutely wild in the stands. And you can see the glance up from Steve Ott, and he's trying so hard to hide his smirk here. It's great.
Steve Ott, I don't think the apple falls very far from the tree here with Maverick. Steve Ott, a maniac back in the day in his own right. So certainly, this checks out.
Yeah. It was a nice little moment there for the Blues to pass along. That is a wrap on today's edition of the show. If you are not subscribed to the YouTube, do it right now, because not only do we have a loaded week of Daily Faceoff Live coming to you, but Friday, it is our 4-hour deadline live stream, starting an hour earlier than we usually do and rolling right up until after the deadline. You won't want to miss it. So make sure you hammer that subscribe button. Enjoy your Monday, hockey fans, and we'll chat with you again tomorrow at noon Eastern.
Thanks for tuning in to Daily Faceoff Live. Make sure you hit the subscribe button to never miss an episode.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special coming your way this playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and let me tell you, it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with 4 questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle. And here's a sneak peek into some of those questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. That sounds simple, right? But there's more. You got to decide if the total amount of goals in the game will be over or under a certain amount, and that's where the real strategy starts to kick in. Next up, you're picking who's going to find the back of the net first, and you're going to want to be careful, because that's one that could be cooked early on in the game. And finally, you got to predict which period is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third?
That's up to you to decide. Now let's talk about prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? For the daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards to treat yourself to some Fresh Nation gear, and you might even win a jersey from your favorite team. And for the big dogs, those who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.